She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Ah, so good, so good.
First, I came across an article on Business Insider, and the headline was, "This man live-streamed his entire life, even bathroom breaks, for a year. Michael Jerry says he's the first person in history," well, no wonder, because who wants to, "is the first person in history to live-stream his entire life without breaks for an entire year in high resolution." I'm not sure that's necessary.
Jerry agrees with you on that.
He was in a dark place when he started live-streaming, but it helped him in unexpected ways. Yeah, well, I think he should have remained in dark places even during some parts of the year, but that's not for me to say. So then I was thinking, you know, we've really gone a crazy journey on with regard to reality TV. And I caught myself the other day watching this Gogglebox thing, which is watching people watching TV. And I even enjoyed it. Not because I got to know them and what they liked and what they didn't like. And I think it's actually very well done. I know Linda Warren says, you know, she'd rather watch paint dry. Not all of our listeners like, you know, even love the idea. And it sounds ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine when they went to pitch it to some production house and they said, "We want to create a reality TV show of people watching TV." Mm-hmm. And someone said, "Yeah, there's a good idea."
But do you know how relaxed people are when they're watching TV? And they become commentators.
But that's why it was fun. That's
so
why I enjoy
that's
it.
That's why it would really be.
But, yeah. But reality TV is a relatively, I use the word, new concept. And I thought if anybody's going to be able to tell us about this journey, it's Dina Diamond. So I quickly messaged her yesterday and I said, "Dina, we have to talk about this because we've come a strange way, and you know, but we need some context. So when did reality TV become a thing?"
So the truth is that reality TV really took off in the 1990s. If you remember, it had The Hills and it had Orange County. Those were the first real shows that sort of really took off. But it actually started with The Real World, which was actually based on like an American Family, which was actually aired in the 1970s. So that was the very, very beginning. But really, really, it started taking off in the early 1990s. With The Real World and, you know, getting people into a house and watching them and see how they all interact, etc. And that was actually based originally off the 90210 and Melrose Place. I don't know if you remember those.
Of course. We loved those. Yeah.
Exactly, and we loved it because we used to watch the interaction of people all living in the same area and then interacting and how the relationships developed and all of that. And that's what actually spawned that idea of Orange County, The Hills, which literally started exploding in the 1990s. And then also what the real beginnings for us, as sort of I'd say more on the pop culture, was beginning with Big Brother, Amazing Race, Survivor. Those were the real beginning episodes, and they actually became like global franchises where you saw Big Brother Nigeria and Big Brother in the US, and everyone was watching people like 24 hours a day in a house. I mean, it's a crazy concept, as you say. Who pitched this idea and thought, "Wow, that's a great idea. Let's just watch people doing whatever they do." And
Do you think it's a sign of our times that you know, it used to be, I mean, I remember when, what was that it's a well-known TV show, This Is Us, maybe, which I absolutely hated. I thought it was so boring. And my wife was like, really, she just loved it. And I said, like, you know what, if I want to watch that, I might as well just go downstairs and watch The Family. You know what I mean? Why, why do I need to watch this on? It was too real. But somehow, instead of us looking for escapism, we're watching other people. What do you think it says about us?
I think there is a bit of escapism of our own life and our own family, because people think that there are obviously other people who have more interesting lives. And also it goes in the complete spectrum, right? So it goes from the likes of what was a Honey Boo Boo, which was almost like trailer trash kind of stuff, all the way to Desperate Housewives or Wives of Atlanta and stuff like that. So you're going from, it's not just rich or poor, it's a complete spectrum. And then, and looking at how their lives sort of evolved. I think Jerry Springer also, unfortunately to use them as an example, was also a forerunner in a bit of the reality TV where you saw the absolute sort of fascination with people, with other people's like dirt, chaos, literally dirty laundry.
Like watching a car crash.
Yeah, exactly. And now even with Gogglebox, as you say, watching people on TV or their reactions. I mean, if you watch someone watching the sports, like if you actually look at someone who watches like the final between like Man United or Liverpool, people are screaming.
It's true.
At the screen,
it's more interesting like, to watch the people then. You're absolutely right.
I mean, the psychology is hilarious. Like they're actually going to hear you screaming at the screen. Like it's going to make any difference to the game, yet they still continue. So, and it's very entertaining if you watch it and you're not engaged in that moment. You know what I mean? If you're not that person, it's a very interesting reaction. So I think there's an element of voyeurism. I think there's an element of escapism, and they've done psychological studies, and that's exactly what they come up with. It's the fascination of looking at other people's lives. It's also aspirational. So people are looking at, oh, this is what I want. And if you look at all the celebs, and people actually sometimes get so immersed in it that, as you say, with this guy who as you said, you sent me the article, who literally live streamed his life in HD for an entire year. He said that watching himself made him make changes in his life. So he realized that he stopped taking recreational drugs. He stopped drinking because he realized he wanted to be a better version of himself. And by watching himself, he came to that realization, which was quite interesting.
Yeah, it's that whole life imitating art business.
Yeah, exactly. So he became a better person by watching his reality show in essence. So there was a whole bunch of psychological, sort of background on it. And there's a lot of psychology done on why people would literally watch other people, but it does allow window into worlds that maybe people never had access to before or never will have access. So, I wonder how these people live. And this actually gives you a breakdown. And not only that, but I think for a lot of the celebrities, it shows that they're just human as well. So you often just see them when they're posting on Instagram or they're on the red carpet. But now that you've got a little view into their lives, you see that they fight as well like a family. I mean, if you look at the beginning of the Kardashians as well, they look at the sisters always having fights, always swearing at each other. So they actually almost break down that sort of glass of having that beautiful, that veneer of having a perfect life. And they show to be real people. They eat. They put on weight. They discuss those issues. They get divorced. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes out which maybe even validates your own life.
It's so interesting because it's almost limitless now. I mean, I'm thinking as you're speaking, it's a say yes to the dress and then it goes on to bridesmaids' dresses and then it goes on to planning weddings. And oh, then there's that one that married at first sight. Then there's the whole fat loss ones, the fat people one. There's
the undateables. My mom's favorite was
the undateables. Ooh.
The undateables. Yeah? So it's all these people, they have different issues. So I remember the one, my mom's favorite, the one had, what was it? I forgot. But it's all these people, they either, you know, have some sort of a disability or something, and they're trying to get into the dating scene.
Right.
And most of the time they don't disclose that, oh, listen, I'm probably partially blind or whatever until they meet this person and they get there and...
No, it's a miracle.
Oh, my word. Oh, yeah, there's a first dates one as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just countless.
I have to tell you, there's a first date one on E. Oh, my gosh, I love it. So they literally put people together and then they watch the video. So they are actually also people watching people. So they sit in a little lounge. They've got two, it depends. They change.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Comedians.
Yes, I've seen that. That's awesome.
I love that one as well. Because they sit and they crit the whole day whilst eating a platter or something.
And now there's Indian matchmaking as well. And then somebody recommended, Dina, you will love this. I don't know if you have seen this on Netflix yet. Selling Sunset.
Oh my goodness, someone recommended that to me as well. I need to watch it.
My word.
Because I saw the wedding
Oh, I haven't got to that episode.
I saw, so there's a wedding.
Yes.
And I was like, what is this? Where's the stunning wedding? They were like, you need to get into Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset. So Selling Sunset is a group of estate agents in Hollywood. And of course they, you know, they're selling Sunset. They're selling the dream.
I've seen the premiere for this.
But it's so interesting. Just to watch the characters more than it is even the homes, which are beautiful. Well, some are really, really so bad. But it's just incredible what goes on there. And, so this is absolutely fascinating. Karen M says, Big Brother came out shortly after my husband died and it saved me because I came home to watch for hours instead of wallowing in sadness. Ferdy was entertaining. I remember one of the inmates who didn't know about 911, but said he had a sixth sense that something big had happened.
Oh, 9/11.
And in fact, I interviewed. Oh gosh, what's her name? She was on our show.
Early in the year when lockdown started.
Yes, I spoke to her when lockdown started because I thought it was like almost we were going into a Big Brother house. Yes. She was the gosh. You can help me on 34519 or 0618951019. She was actually an air traffic controller, and she went and she was one of the contestants there. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you remember her name? And what was amazing about her was exactly what Karen M was saying is, and I remember it clearly, I reminded her of it when we spoke, is there was an interview afterwards where they told her and they showed her the footage of 9/11. She hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
And she couldn't work out if this was some kind of a trick that was being played on her. And she kept looking at her mom for sort of reassurance that this had actually happened. Yeah. The world had changed whilst she was in the house. Jenny says it's Lee Benny. Thank you, Jenny. That's exactly who it is. Karen says, I remember the interview. Yeah, so it's just... I find it so fascinating how, and now if you go into a Netflix or anything, it's all true crime, real detective, unsolved.
Mm.
Like everything
real
is real.
I know,
or pretends
to be
real.
There's so many genres, right? So you've got the competitions like the Big Brothers, the Amazing Race, the Fear Factors, the Survivor, where you also look at people's innate nature, like what happens when you literally drill them down and they become almost animalistic.
Mm.
So, and that in itself is like fascinating. And then you get to like your singing talent. So you look at The Voice, you look at Idols, X Factor, America's Got Talent, Dancing with the Stars, Dance Moms, Top Model, Project Runway. We could go mad.
Mm.
I mean, these are, people get so immersed in them that that's all they can actually think about. They're obsessed. They binge watch them because they want to know what goes on next. And it's just a fascinating, like, I think human, experiment really about all of these things.
I'm just absolutely, and it's clearly a very big industry because if it wasn't, nobody would be producing these things. We would still be producing fiction, even though we have to accept that a lot of this is very contrived and production companies do, create realities that might not necessarily be realities around these things because it has to be made interesting. If it isn't interesting, it doesn't keep our attention.
Exactly. But what they keep doing, that's why they keep coming up with shows that are really, it just keep going sort of from strength. Like every 2 minutes there's a new reality show, as you say, and some fly and some don't. So what makes it work or doesn't make it work? And actually the more controversial the characters, the more interesting people get involved in it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Or even I haven't actually even watched an episode, but I know people that are obsessed with Love Island, which is where couples go to an island and they go as a couple and then they put into a house with, they separated the couples and they have to go into a house with really attractive people.
It actually revolts me, I have to tell you.
It's a disgusting.
It absolutely revolts me. I think it's everything that is bad about the world is captured in Love Island. Not that I've watched
it. But it's hugely popular.
The concept is so offensive to me that a couple would put their relationship under strain in that sort of a way in order to test themselves. Are we mad?
I think we have lost the plot a little bit, I must be honest. But if you think about it, a lot of these people do it because they want the fame. A lot of, reality stars have gone on to make a fortune of money. I mean, my friend who lives overseas, she lives in Israel, she's got a 6-year-old daughter, and she messages me yesterday, my friend, and she says, her comment from her daughter was, and she's 6, hey? Mm. I wish we were YouTubers so we can get lots of money and I can buy whatever I want. This is a 6-year-old who's commenting to her.
That is so
because that's what has happened, and she sees it happening.
It's very, very frightening. So the question is, you know, where does this go?
So I actually just think it continues, because what has happened, so with reality TV, so as it was starting in the 1990s and it got that initial sort of traction, you've got to remember that it was being shown only on television. Now, television is anywhere. So this is what's quite another interesting phenomenon, is that television doesn't have to be marketed on television. Everyone has got a device. Everyone has got a smartphone, a tablet. You can watch a Netflix. You can download it anytime. It's on demand. You can watch whatever you want, whenever you want. So that's why it's become so much more prolific. And then not only does it exist on television as a show or as a series, but then it streams over into social media. It goes on to Instagram. It goes on to Facebook. It goes on to Twitter. It goes into whatever medium that you're able to sort of put your life onto, which is anything these days. And then if you look at, like, even from a political point of view, Donald Trump really catapulted to American stardom, I should say, even though he's sort of had the money before, on The Apprentice. That's where people really started knowing about him. And that is, I think, what did contribute to his actual political campaign, which is a crazy thing. So people have made a fortune of money. So even when you talk about Usher's first appearance was in a reality talent search. And now he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Usher hater.
Don't be a hater on Usher. No, I love Usher. No, and I think he's super talented. He's an amazing performer, singer, dancer. He's phenomenal. and then he's actually the one who also talking about the sort of proliferation of social media into TV and the disintermediation. Usher actually found Justin Bieber on YouTube.
Really?
What?
Yes.
You see, and I'm a believer. Label.
I know.
I'm definitely one as
well. No, seriously. He's done some amazing work.
I don't know why. What your problem with Usher? Is it because he's black?
It's the song.
Hey, Lindy, is it because he's black?
It's because he's black.
Most of my best friends are black. So that's definitely not the reason.
That's fascinating. So he found him on YouTube.
On YouTube. And YouTube also, people, when you talk about reality TV, YouTube has become a major medium for streaming, like, your actual life. I mean, my kids also watch this couple.
Yeah, my kids can sit at, they sit at the table and they'll say, oh, did you hear so-and-so broke up?
I say,
who? Who? And they're not names that I know. I don't think they're going to Mizrahi.
Yeah. And
my wife is rolling her eyes because, you know, honestly, like, because only I would really care, because I love this sort of conversation. And it turned out that YouTubers.
Yeah.
And what he did, and then he found somebody so quickly.
I can spend hours on YouTube. I love YouTube. They do what they call vlogs now. So it's sort of like reality TV as well. So you get, like, unscripted.
Unscripted.
You know, I'm a big, big fan of YouTube. Love it.
So I've, as my daughter says, I've avoided going down the rabbit hole of YouTube. I just don't have enough time, in the day. Dina Diamond, thank you as always. Absolutely marvelous conversation. Really enjoyed it. I hope everybody did as well. Do you have a favorite? Wait, hold on, Dina, before you go, do you have a favorite reality TV show?
So I have to tell you, and I have to admit it, but I absolutely love Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because I think they are brilliant marketers.
I think so as well.
People say that they were famous for being famous, but now Kim has reached almost $1 billion in net worth. Younger sister Kylie is almost $1 billion. So this isn't just them becoming reality stars. They have really created brands. They've become marketing. They've created Good American. They have become true marketing superstars. They're not just, so I think they're just geniuses, I must be honest.
I hear that. that 100%. Do you have a favorite reality
and the cooking
TV?
Shows?
Oh, the cooking shows. Oh, we didn't even talk about those. Those are huge.
We didn't even talk about MasterChef, Cake Boss, Chuck, Great American Bake Off. I mean, Gordon Ramsay. You can go mad.
It's unbelievable.
Gordon Ramsay with the kids.
The home shows. I love Dress My Nest, Extreme Makeover.
Extreme Makeover. I love Extreme Makeover. But it's so interesting because, as you say, in the 80s, none of this, it just wasn't a thing. Absolutely phenomenal. Dina Diamond, thank you as always.